So it came about because I heard that there's this fantastic publication called Jazz in London that was a little A5 booklet that came out every month without fail. And it turns out it had been produced continuously for 43 years. And the lady who had been doing that decided to step back from it. She had some other things that she needed to attend to. So she sort of retired from it. And it was announced back in February. And I think I'd been fretting about it for a couple of months, thinking, where am I going to get my news from? About, I'm a, you know, avid jazz lover myself. I go to a lot of gigs. I'm also a musician. And so I was kind of concerned from the point of view of both somebody that puts on gigs and somebody that likes to go to gigs that this would be no more. And it was one of those things sort of late at night, I was lying awake in bed and thinking, well, I could do something about it. Maybe somebody already is, but I'll find out. So I rang the editor of London Jazz News, Sebastian Scotney, who done this piece saying that Mary was stepping down from doing jazz in London, and asked what, you know, what he thought. And he said, oh, well, you know, she's had a few offers of people that would like to, you know, pick up where she left off, but, you know, why didn't you ring her up? So I had this long conversation with her, and she said she had been working with somebody that had been extraordinarily helpful, who is London based because she lives in Yorkshire and was doing it from a distance, called Mick Sexton. And she said, well, you know, why don't you speak to Mick? Because what you're saying is it's along the same lines. And what my idea was that instead of going ahead with producing a new kind of printed version, which I thought would have lots of logistical headaches to do with getting it around, distributing it to all the clubs and venues in London, then I would do something that was, you know, something that was smartphone friendly, that you could look at on your computer, on your iPad, on your Android, on your iPhone, whatever, and that would be either a website or an app. And so, as it turns out, we're kind of more towards the app side of things now than it will be a website as well. And so I spoke to Mick Sexton, and he said yes, that, you know, that's sort of the thing that he'd been thinking about. So we've been collaborating anyway, and the pair of us have, you know, quite a good network of people that we know across London. So we got some support quite early on, but I realized that neither of us had the skill set to create a searchable database that this thing would really need to run off if it was going to be done properly. And what I wanted was for people to be able to search by day and by, you know, look ahead, you know, in the months to come, and search to see what was on, if their friends were coming to town or if they were planning to visit London. And similarly, that they would be able to find out about more about the artists who were playing on each gig. And there would be a whole kind of database to do with the artists and their bands and so on. So this was the kind of thing I started to talk to a database developer friend of mine, and realised that I couldn't really ask her to do it for free. And we didn't really have any money to kind of put into the project at that moment. So I thought, well, you know, the thing to do would be to run this crowdfunding campaign. So I did some research and I picked Kickstarter as the best platform. It's good for creative projects of this kind. A lot of people have raised money for their albums, for example, this way. And we put together this campaign. It runs until the 10th of July. Our aim is to raise £10,000. We're just about at the halfway mark. We're just shy of the halfway mark as of today, with just under 40 days to run. And if we don't make the £10,000, we don't get anything. So we're really keen that we do get pledges in. And there's lots of options there for people to pledge different amounts of money, from £2 up to £2,500. There's mugs and T-shirts. But also, from the point of view of the venues and the artists, there's a kind of early bird opportunity to, you know, for an artist that just for a tenner, they could have their own page on the site for a year, and the venues start at £50 for a year. So we're trying to keep it as nominal as possible. Obviously, the previous thing, Jazz in London, was free, and we want to maintain the idea that people can access this information on the website at any time they choose for free. The app might have a tiny price attached to it as a one-off thing, to, you know, the price of a cup of coffee or something, when we launch that in September. So the idea is that when we secure, hopefully we will secure the £10,000 in July, then we'll be able to commission the database to be built over the summer, and we'll launch the kind of real version. So the, what we've got up at the moment is like a sort of beta version built on a WordPress template. The real version will come online in September, and we hope that people will use it. We've had a fantastic response so far. We've got 600 people following the blog, and it only went live yesterday. So the web address at the moment is jazzinlondon.live, if people want to access it and see what we've got going on there. Obviously, it's not a fully searchable database at the moment, so it's masquerading as one, but it really doesn't have the sort of bones behind it to run as we would want it to. And that's why we need the £10,000 to be able to do that.